There was a time when New Mexico was invaded, and it was within the last 108 years. Michael Swickard here. Welcome to Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces. Our award-winning Hatch green and red chili, boy, is it good. It's from locally owned farms in Hatch, New Mexico, the chili capital of the world. Glad you could join me today for a podcast about the history and culture of New Mexico. We put an emphasis at times on agriculture because three times a day I use agriculture. They're called breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then there's a Fresh Chili Company snack in between. Thanks, agriculture. It was 108 years ago this week that Columbus, New Mexico, in southwestern New Mexico, was squarely in the eye of national and international news due to a raid by Mexican soldiers under the command of Pancho Villa. This happened in the middle of the night in the town of Columbus, just over the border with Mexico, about 30 miles south of Deming, New Mexico. The title of the event, as people talk about, is the Columbus Raid or the Pancho Villa Raid or the Battle of Columbus. The most important factor for you to understand this historical event is there was extreme chaos in the northern part of Mexico, with a large-scale revolution going on between at least four different factions and thousands upon thousands of soldiers from different factions. One of them was called Pancho Villa, though he was born by the name of José Doratorio Aranjo. He was born the 5th of June, 1878, though he called himself Pancho Villa. From 1870 to about 1920, 1930, Mexico was totally absorbed in various factions fighting for control of the country. I could talk for days on all of the intrigue, but I'm just going to hit some high points because we're only going to talk for 15 minutes. And the raid on Columbus and the subsequent invasion of Mexico by the United States military under the command of General John Pershing. Now, partly personal, the Montana National Guard, in 1915, well, they had a soldier named Horace Swickard. He was my grandfather. He's one of the soldiers that came to the border due to the uncertainty of the Mexican Revolution that it was having on the border states of Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. He came from Montana to Douglas, Arizona, with his wool uniform, which at that time was pretty good in Montana. He almost sweat to death, he said here. The National Guard units didn't go into Mexico with General Pershing. Rather, they patrolled the border between the United States and Mexico to discourage any intrusion into our country by Mexican rebels and revolutionaries. Now, there were plenty of threats to Douglas and Bisbee, Arizona, so the 2nd Regiment Infantry National Guard from Montana was brought in by railroad. They got here in May of 1916, a couple of months after the Columbus raid. My grandfather Horace Swickard was one of the soldiers. His job at first was as a wagoneer, though it changed to being a machine gunner at a later date, and he went through World War I as a machine gunner. Like many soldiers sent to the National Guard to the border for several years, they went with General Pershing to France. Starting in May of 1917 as members of the 1st Infantry Division, the Big Red One, as it was known, and that's the other ones that fought in World War I. The Pancho Villa raid, which I'm going to tell you about in a second, did make it to the big screen in 1972 in a movie with Telly Savalas, Clint Walker, Chuck Connors, Anne Francis. The movie aptly named Pancho Villa. Well, that's what they were looking at. It was a believable plot line, and I guess you can still find it somewhere. We'll get to the real truth now. Michael Swickard here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico. We're sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. You can hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. So this week, 108 years ago, was the pillaging attack in the middle of the night on Columbus, New Mexico, and the subsequent very big gun battle between the Villaistas on one side and the soldiers of the 13th Cavalry Regiment, which was stationed in Columbus, New Mexico. The sleeping town was attacked about 4 in the morning. The attackers had crossed the border about midnight and then decided how they wanted to attack Columbus. And mainly they were wanting to collect money and guns and kind of get back at the United States. In the dark, the attack began with gunfire, which awoke the townspeople and the soldiers to the attack there that morning of March 9th, 1916. It quickly turned into a full-scale battle, with the soldiers being vastly outnumbered, but having a much superior machine guns, rifles, and battle tactics. Several thousand bullets were fired in just the first few minutes by the two sides. There could be a whole series of movies about the next couple of hours, including that some of the U.S. soldiers under Major Frank Thompson's chased the withdrawing Pancho Villa forces at least 10 miles into Mexico before saying, whoops, we're in Mexico, we better go back, and they did. There were about 70 Villa soldiers who were dead, and the American dead include soldiers and town people was about 20. Much like the rage that Americans felt when Pearl Harbor was attacked December 7, 1941, the American public was outraged at an attack on American soil, which had been the first one since the War of 1812. So it really did hit the Americans really hard. The U.S. government immediately called up National Guard units all over, especially the West, and by August, a few months later, there were 100,000 troops on the border on our side, and again, including my grandfather Horace Swickard. The army went into Mexico with about 10,000 soldiers and chased Pancho Villa, who was not captured himself, but many of the attackers were. Now, the army, it was kind of interesting, attempted to use some airplanes for kind of reconnaissance and going back and forth. But what they hadn't counted on, you know, in March, we do have those winds. And man, those planes could not fly in those winds. But also the very dry weather kind of tore up the airplanes. They finally said, let's just forget the airplanes, and they did. The Army spent between 6 and 8 months in Mexico, and they had a number of times where they did pretty good and a number of times where they didn't do pretty good. And then the war clouds in Europe really started up, and General John Pershing pulled everyone out of Mexico, and he headed for the seaports to go to France. My grandfather, again, was one of the many thousands of soldiers with him. It was an incredible training exercise for the American Army and all those officers. And the main thing it did was it pointed out the many areas where the Army, which had been a peacetime Army for quite a while, was not ready for war. The very chaotic scene in Mexico continued for many, many years. Pancho Villa was assassinated in 1923 by Mexican rivals. But there is the 100 years of people afterwards that's important to southern New Mexico. Many of the combatants on both sides, on the Mexico side and on the American side, traveled to the other side for many reasons. And many of the Mexican citizens emigrated to the to New Mexico. And when you talk about the attack on Columbus and you're sitting somewhere talking about it, you will find that you have a bunch of views from both sides. Some of the years ago, to commemorate the historical effect upon the United States, the State of New Mexico Parks Commission established the Pancho Villa Historical Park and Museum in Columbus, New Mexico. So if you go there, you will find they have a bunch of historical stuff for you to look at. And the bigger picture was the several decades of people going back and forth from those battlegrounds of that one night, that the wounds were healed. And just a moment, I want to set the experience of Columbus to the First and Second World Wars, but the First World War for sure. Michael Swickard here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company. Hit subscribe if you want to automatically get these. I'm talking today about the effect of the Pancho Villa raid on Columbus, New Mexico, in the night of March 9th, 1916. The American forces under General John Pershing established themselves near Deming and then went into Mexico for at least 6 months, closer to eight, and then retreated back to southern New Mexico because it was obvious that the United States, which had stayed for 3 years out of the European War, well, they were, Woodrow Wilson was going to join England and France against Germany. Now, Germany didn't send Pancho Villa to attack the United States, but it appears they were very pleased by it and sent a secret telegram. It's called the Zimmermann telegram, which was broken by code breakers in England, having their ambassador offer Mexico the states of Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California if Mexico would just resume their attacks upon the United States to keep us home instead of sending millions of men to France. Well, Mexico said, no, thank you. Now, you have to know that the German agents even did a number of sabotage actions, blew up a number of things, including a promontory in New York City Harbor. When it blew up in July of 1916, it broke every window in Brooklyn. That was an explosion. Peppered the Statue of Liberty with shrapnel. It's speculated by New Mexico writer of the time, Eugene Rhodes, that Germany sent a crew of saboteurs to blow up Elephant Butte Dam, but the attempt failed, as obviously you'd know. Eugene Rhodes wrote about it in the Saturday Evening Post in 1922. Probably the most important thing is it introduced New Mexico and Arizona to thousands upon thousands of soldiers, some of whom, and it was very good, decided they liked it here, and they moved here. So it was one of the things that got people moving to the Southwest. And the more people moved here, the more it brought prosperity here. Let's talk about the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. They have a great website I want to tell you about, FreshChiliCo.com. Run it all together, FreshChiliCo.com. Now, you can see all of the great products they have. They can ship to your door, a lot of them in jars, you don't have to open them. They'll sit for a couple of years on your shelf. When you open them, you put them in the refrigerator for a week or so and use them all up. I especially love their blend of red and green chili in a jar. Now, it comes in mild, medium, hot, and extra hot. I like medium and hot, and so it'll meet your taste heat needs. But I want to point out one more thing that some people have not noticed yet. You can buy a yearly Fresh Chili membership, which does a number of things for you. First, you get 20% off every order you make. Within the United States, you get free shipping. Also, 5% cash back on every order, $10 in store credits upon signing up, easy access to new drops that they come up with, member-only products, and priority customer support. I mean, that's a deal. Check it out. If chili is an important part of your kitchen routine, boy, it is with me, you can become a Fresh Chili member with a yearly purchase of a membership. And you can, again, do that on FreshChiliCo.com website and get going with it. Let me tell you about something at the Fresh Chili Company I find over-the-top great. It is called Salsa Roja. The full name of it, if you're looking for it on the Fresh Chili Company website, FreshChiliCo.com, is Hatch Jalapeno Salsa Roja. It is inspired by the traditional Mexican salsa that you can get. People that try it say, oh, that tastes just like I'm in Mexico right now. This is creamy and spicy. Wow, what a taste. It's made from red jalapeno peppers from the Hatch New Mexico group. That is the chili capital of the world, and the salsa goes very well with chips and tacos, and you know what I do? I use it on my salads. It's just ever so good. One thing that happens when people live in Las Cruces or visit, they can come by the Fresh Chili Company's gift shop at 1160 El Paseo Road, Suite D7. It is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come by the Fresh Chili Company's gift shop. See all the things that they have. There's a big sign that says the Fresh Chili Company. You can see it. I even give tours of the facility. If you're coming, email ahead and we'll work out a tour for you to see how the chili is made. This is Michael Swickard with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico. Thank you for your time today. We'll always have lots of news and stories about New Mexico for you on these podcasts. If you have something or someone you want me to talk about, let me know. Michael@FreshChilico.com. Michael@FreshChilico.com. Have a great rest of your day. Oh, yes, and eat plenty of that Hatch Valley chili. Like I always say, some chili's good. More is better as long as it's Hatch Valley chili. Bye for now.